Hello, welcome to Igbo Queer and Unfiltered podcast. My name is Charles. How have you been? I just am going to start by saying thank you to everyone that has been watching on YouTube, listening, everyone that has subscribed to the newsletter, followed me on TikTok, Instagram, and everywhere. I'm really, really appreciative of you for joining the movement for truth, visibility, representation, and just basically living our authentic selves, because this is absolutely important. I am so appreciative. You have no idea. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. I am recording this at a different time because I am so freaking busy. We have to leave. We have to pay bills. We have to do all the adult things. And might I add, it is Christmas as well. So I have my nephew, my niece trying to remind me there is Christmas and other people and things like this. But it is fun to have something like this happen. Okay, I have never been someone that wanted children. It has never been anything whatsoever that I aspired to. Even when I was a kid, I remember one time a conversation was had at my house, in my family. Both of my parents were still alive at the time. And I was really, really young. So something came about children, and I said something. My mother was really, really pissed off about this. Maybe she got what I was trying to say, but I was like, I don't really want children. I don't know if I do. Maybe because of I knew earlier on in my life that I was a homosexual, and I never foresee that in the future that there would ever be a time when a gay person would be able to have a family. That is reality now. But growing up in Nigeria, in the northern part of Nigeria, in Kano, going to primary school there and ended up in Enugu in secondary school and then University of Maiduguri and then University of Manchester, that was never something that I thought was possible for me. But what really, really is upsetting every day, I go on TikTok lives most days. What is really, really upsetting is that majority of the times, all of these good for nothing people always will say, don't you want children? Do you want children? And I have explained and explained and explained the reason why I don't want children. There's so many reasons why I don't want children. I don't want to raise a child that will not be a well-rounded human being. I don't want to be in my feelings and my child needs something and then I take it out on them. There's so many things that I have thought about. And because of all of these things, I do not want children. That does not mean that I don't love children. I absolutely do. But I just don't want them for myself. And that is okay. This whole thing, especially because I'm African, I'm from Nigeria, I'm Igbo, people will be like, who is going to take care of you when you get old? And that is where the problem lies, because majority of some of our parents had their children for them to be their pension. They had you, they failed in their life, they want you to be the success that they never had. That is why a lot of people will come to me as a gay man who is open and visible. They'll be like, are your family proud of you? Your mother will be crying. Why will my mother or my father cry because of I am gay? Why will you be upset because of your child is queer? That does not have anything to do with you. If you love your child unconditionally, their sexuality shouldn't matter. Their success shouldn't be a problem. Their passion should be something that you should care about. Make them do what they love. If you think they are going astray or they are taking a direction that you think will be of detriment or of danger towards them, then you guide them. I am sick and tired of this good for nothing people always telling me nonsense. My dear, I am okay not having children. Leave it with me. When I get old, let me suffer then, if that's what it is. Anyway, I just said I should share this because it is so funny when this happens. Of course, children are wonderful. They can be a blessing if you do it the right way. But some of these cross-dressing people, my dear, they don't do it the right way. Okay, can we talk about the silent crisis that is repressed homosexuals in Africa amongst the Black community, amongst the Igbo people, and people of African descent? Like, maybe the whole world, actually. Repressed gay men exist everywhere. They exist in Nigeria, in Ghana, in Cameroon, in Burkina Faso, everywhere. In the diaspora, in churches, in marriages, they exist literally. It is nothing new. whatsoever. The thing is that a lot of people forget that some of the men that are married to some of your mothers, some of your aunties, some of your sisters are repressed homosexuals. They get into this because society told them that it is absolutely wrong for them to live their truth. The worst happens in churches and places where people talk about gay people as if they are evil. Somebody made me aware. I think I must have mentioned this in one of the episodes. I was made aware that I was talked about in a church in Nigeria. Would you believe this? A whole me, nobody like me, that is just living my life as a gay, juicy, moisturized, hydrated homosexual. I'm just living my life, and my video and my life was used to describe something. And the guy was like, this is wild. When he was saying this to me, I'm like, okay. But the thing is, I have seen some of the preaching some of these pastors make in churches about queer people. And that is horrible. That is why you see a lot of repressed queer people. The thing is, you are made into becoming silent. And before you know it, that silence literally becomes your personality because it is not a choice that you've made. For me, growing up as a gay kid, I became so silent. It was wild. There is a lot of part of me that I repressed growing up that I did not show. I remember this vividly. My older brother one time said to me, why is it that you're so nice when you come to people? This is what women do. Because of that, I started to change certain things, how I behaved, the things I say to people, how I relate to them, how I do things. And this is the things you begin to internalize without actually knowing them, knowing it yourself. And then it becomes a part of you in a very negative way. Repression, from my personal experience growing up in a Catholic home in Nigeria, is not discipline. It is suffocation. You are being suffocated by the things you hear every fucking day. The things adults say around you, the things you hear in your churches, the things your elders say, the way they say that homosexuality and queerness is evil, it's not of your culture, and things like this. Before you know, you are repressing your whole fucking being. You are suffocated. You are unable to literally breathe because of some of these good for nothing people. At the end of the day, being repressed is something that may actually make you to start resenting other queer people who are okay with themselves. And I get this every fucking day. Some of these DL demon queens, DL homosexuals will come and say, oh, your backside is leaking. They are sleeping with you. You are taking this. You are doing that. You are useless. Meanwhile, when you speak to them, you will know that they are fucking depressed, miserable, and suffocated. And that is a place I don't want you to be. Majority of the times when these people insult me and say horrible homophobic things to me, I will look at them. I will look at them when they speak to me. I will see the pain, the misery, the sadness, the frustration that is in their eyes. And maybe they know it. But the thing is, if you are repressed and you are on social media streets, on these social media streets, on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube, wherever, and you are insulting other gay people that are okay with themselves and living their lives, that is never, ever going to absolve you of your homosexuality. Whether you like it or not, repressed or not repressed, you are still a homosexual. So my advice to some of these wicked people, because all of them are not like this, is for them to make peace with themselves. I always say it to everybody anyway, it is important for you to make peace with who you are. Because once you do that, that would be your biggest win. But the thing is that some of these people are adults and they still are living in denial. It is wild. It is wild. I have had so many conversations in my lifetime because literally at this point in time, I'm a professional yapper. I am just there yapping and talking with no breaks. We'll never forget. This was when I was at University of Maiduguri. Actually, this was years ago, many moons ago. I was talking to a friend of mine and we're talking and talking. And he kept saying to me, oh, you dress this, you do that. And in that moment, I realized how the African masculinity is a massive cage that we are in. Literally, as an Igbo man, the Igbo masculinity is a massive cage, because what happens is there is a lot of cultural expectations. There is a lot of way you are expected to live as a man. This is not only in the African culture. This is the world over, the whole world, literally. You are expected for your masculinity to be a certain way. So literally, be strong, be tough, don't show that you are soft. Don't question tradition. And for our African people, Igbo people, Yoruba, and some of our Ghanaian brothers and all of us, they will say to you, don't fail your lineage. The truth of the matter is, these whole expectations crush us queer people. It crushes our soul. And in that moment, having these conversations with this friend of mine who did not know that I'm a homosexual, I was like, my life has been a performance all along. I have been performing. I have been performing to be strong, masculine, for people not to know that I'm gay, to dress in a way where people will not suspect that I'm gay. I did this even in Manchester up until not long ago, where I was dressing the way I never wanted to dress because I didn't want people to know that I'm gay. And this is what happens. Today, I do not fucking care if anybody knows that I'm gay, whether I dress gay or straight. I do not fucking care, because it does not matter. I have come to the realization and I have made peace with myself and I am okay with who I am. I don't really care if you know that I'm gay, if you think that I sleep with the whole men in the world. That is not my problem anymore, because I am done with performing for anybody. All I'm doing is I'm living in my truth, I'm being honest to myself, and I'm unbothered. As I always say to them, I say this all the fucking time. I am a juicy, gay Igbo man who is moisturized, hydrated, glowy, and unbothered. I am always doing the things. If I want to use my lip gloss, I'm going to use it. If I want to do skincare, I'm going to do it. If I want to go in the women's section and shop for something that works for me, that I think is unisex enough, I am going to do it. I am going to live my life unapologetically. I don't fucking care if you are my brother, my uncle, my sister. Fuck you. I don't care. Because at the end of the day, if each and every one of us who is queer passes away today, life will fucking continue. They will continue to live and lead their lives, whether you like it or not. My dear, stop the performance. Being effeminate or being in touch with your femininity doesn't make you less of a man. Being a feminine gay man, a masculine presenting lesbian, does not make you less of a woman. You are who you are, and who you are is not wrong. Growing up as an Igbo man, Igbo masculinity rarely gives space for queer truth. This is not only the Igbos. Across the board, there is no space for queer truth. There is no space for that. There is only space for performance. They just want you to perform. Don't ask, don't speak it, don't say it, don't even act like you are gay. Pretend and do all the masculine nonsense. I will never, ever forget this. When Mamma Mia movie came out, I went to see this movie with a friend in Manchester, and he was like, I don't want anybody to see us coming into the cinema because they will think we are gay. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? What do you mean? What do you mean? I was looking at him and I'm like, what the hell is this? And you know what? Somehow I internalized some of those bullshit. I did not react, but somehow I sat there and listened to him. Somehow I felt like, okay, maybe it's true, but I just did not. I literally, because of him, I didn't tell people immediately that I went to see that movie until after a few months later. I said to myself, why am I not saying that I watched this movie? It's because of this nonsense. My dear, be gay, be queer, be a homosexual, live your life. Stop performing for good for nothing, crusty, dusty, unwashed bum crack individuals who do not know their left from their right. At the end of the day, some of these people who call you gay, like they do sometimes, I've been on TikTok Live sometimes when I'll be speaking, or I'll be speaking to them. Like sometimes I just go on TikTok Live and I'll be doing like cooking, or I make my beds on Sundays when I change my bed covers, just like that. they'll be like, oh, he's the woman. So you're the woman. That's why you're doing the domestic work. Because you know what? They are crusty and dusty and they don't know their left from their right. And this is why I never, ever engage with a person who do not know their left from their right. Because if you have common sense, you will understand that queer relationships are not heteronormative relationships. It is two men. It is two women. Some of these people are just crazy and obsessed. The number of times people who claim that they don't like me, that I will go to hell, want to fucking speak to me, I'll be like, I thought you don't like me. Why do you want to speak to me so fucking much if you do not like me? What is it? But I know why. Look at me. Look at me. I am the vibes. I am divinely protected. We queer people are the light. We are smart. We are amazing. We are unique. We are the one that are inventing all the things. We are always trendsetters, be it in fashion, style, technology, you name it, arts, you name it. We are always representing. This is why I say that this is a movement. The Igbo Queer and Unfiltered movement. It is a movement of truth, visibility, and representation. And nobody is going to ever silence us. We are going to always speak the truth, whether they like it or not. Thank goodness for technology. Thank goodness for the internet. Thank goodness for websites and YouTube and TikTok and all of these things, because we will forever have something for the future generation to see that we are here, we were here, and we will continue to be here, whether they like it or not. The thing is, when you are repressed as a queer person, you have a double life. You are existing, but you are never, ever living your life. You are never living your life. You are always beans and yam or potato and stew. You are just there. You have your public self where people know you as this masculine man that you pretend to be, because I don't know what that is. Then you have your secret self where you go and sleep with men. Maybe you are married to a woman. You sleep with men behind your wife's backs, or you are DL and you are doing it. And then you will, after sleeping with that man, you will tell the man that you are the reason why I'm gay. You will insult them. Then you have your true self when you know that, oh my God, I am a gay man. What am I fucking going to do? What am I fucking going to do about it? This is my truth, but I'm not able to live my truth. That is where you start to experience the mental and the emotional trauma of this. Because your life is in fragments. Your life is in pieces. You begin to suffer emotionally, mentally, and otherwise. And that is something that I don't want for you. If you are repressed about your sexuality, about who you are, do something about it. I am not saying you should come out. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, do something about it. Make peace with yourself. Understand that you being queer, you being gay, you being a lesbian is not a sin. The earlier you understand that, the better you begin to heal mentally, emotionally, and otherwise. You will pick up your life. You pick up your life and you get it together. Because your true self, who you are, is a gay man. And that is okay. It is not a phase. It is not a taboo. It is not a sin. It is who you are. I know I have said this so many times. I do not fucking believe in hellfire and heaven. I don't believe in these things. I believe in making this world better for the future, for the future, for the kids that are going to be born, for us right now, here and now, and then tomorrow. I am not thinking about somewhere that I don't know what is going to happen there. That's not what I'm thinking about. My dear, make peace with yourself. Living a double life is not survival. It is you dying slowly. It is a slow death because you are unhappy, are miserable, you are sad, you are not able to be yourself. Do you know how freeing it is for me to just be myself? Of course, I have lost certain people in my life because of me coming out as gay. But my dear, fuck all of them. I do not care. One bit. I am living my life. I am going to live my life. If anything happens to me today, I would never, ever have any regrets because I am being a gay man that I am. I'm okay with it. And this comes into something that always drives me crazy. Like, literally, this is why I don't go to church anymore. And some of my family members, I don't speak to them anymore as well. The church, the family, and the fear that it brings. It is fucking crazy. These are the institutions that weaponize all the nonsense. The church will say to you as a queer person, pray it away. It is a sin. God does not love a homosexual. God does not love a queer person. Pray it away. My dear, you can never pray it away. You can never pray it away. You can never pray it away at all. You can never, because that is who you are. You were born queer. No matter what the church wants to tell you, you can never pray it away because you are who you are. You were born that way. Then the family, don't bring shame to us. That is why my brothers don't speak to me and some friends cut me off, because they don't want the shame in their head that is associated with homosexuality. There is nothing shameful about being gay. Billy Porter has a song that said, I'm not ashamed anymore. Why should I be ashamed? And this is why when people speak to you as a queer person, they will say to you, do you have family? Then let's get to society. That is why some of your grandfathers are gay and you think they are straight. My dear, look around you. That is what shapes the way you see yourself as a queer person. Because all of these things will mold you. That is when you start having internalized homophobia. You start to hate yourself. You start thinking that is a sin. Do you know, I have a friend, because they are going through difficulties, and he said to me, I think God is punishing me because I am gay. That really, really broke my heart. It's horrible. As someone who grew up Igbo and gay, I learned shame before I really, really learned to speak properly. Because there are certain things you will do, you'll be like, stop that, stop that, stop that. I did a lot of work on myself to get to where I am mentally, emotionally, and otherwise. I need to give myself a pat on the back because I have done really, really well. Coming from where I come from as the last child, like everyone in my house tells me what to do. My sisters love me unconditionally. That will never change. But this whole thing is something that you need to think for yourself and understand that you being repressed is never going to help you. The pressure to marry a woman. Another thing that is so tiring. I will tell a personal story here. I think I've told this story before. I was lying through my teeth. I was telling my brother that I had a girlfriend. Her name is Kimberly. I was lying. I was telling them all of these things. And then it got to a point where that lie wasn't really, really working. I started telling them that marriage is antiquated, that I'm not ready to be married, but I have a girlfriend named Kimberly. That was not a good mental place for me to be. It was such a horrible place to be. Where people are forced into heterosexual marriages, it becomes emotional betrayal, emotional abuse, and things like this. You lose yourself completely. Because what happens is, if you are forced to get into a marriage, that marriage is not built on love. It is built on repression. It is a massive trap. I will never forget this. Met a man in Abuja a few years ago, and he was married. And we were talking as we were chatting, and he said to me, I want to advise you, never, ever in your life get married to a woman as a gay man. That will be the biggest mistakes of your life. I am a living mistake when it comes to that. Because what I have done is I have trapped myself in a marriage that I cannot escape. But it's not because of I couldn't escape. It's the society. You are a lot younger. You may be able to leave Nigeria. And if you are able to do that, never ever get married to a woman. And that stayed with me. But I never knew that I was going to be in the UK or anything. But what I did was, I knew that I wasn't going to get married to a woman. What I was going to do all my life was lie that I had a girlfriend or I had a wife and the wife lived somewhere. I was prepared to lie, but I wasn't prepared to be with a woman. I wasn't prepared to marry and pretend that I'm a straight man. That was never going to happen. I got to a point where I was able to lie. But the thing is, the lies bring a lot of emotional trauma, stress, and suffering because it takes a toll on you. And this is why I always think about the queer men who escaped and the ones who don't. And what I mean by this is the privilege of living environments where life is traumatic for you. Like, for instance, if you're from Ghana or you're from Cameroon or Nigeria or somewhere where it is extremely homophobic, if you have the privilege of living, then that is amazing for you because you've left and you've escaped a situation where you were not able to express yourself. Now you are somewhere where you can express yourself. There is a lot of guilt many of us carry. I carry that guilt sometimes because sometimes when I look at certain queer people in Nigeria that are suffering, I feel so bad and I feel like I need to do something about it, but I am only one person. And this is not only a guilt of that. It's like what happens is sometimes you think about it and you look at yourself, you're like, my God, this was what I went through. And I have a lot of massive grief for those that are still trapped. That is why most times when I speak to queer Nigerians that live in Nigeria and they are struggling, I try as much as possible to see what I can do for them because it is not easy. I feel so bad that they are trapped and not able to live them their lives and express themselves in the way they want to. The thing is, freedom in this situation feels really, really heavy when you see other queer people like you live in an unsafe environment. I see that every day. Like the queer Nigerian guy that was on our life not long ago. That really, really broke my heart. That is something that we go through every day, whether you live in those societies now or you've left. That's what happens. It is crazy. It comes with a lot of grief. I don't know if this is the best word to use, that liberation comes with grief in situations like this. I was mentioning earlier about these good-for-nothing people who are repressed and they are always angry. That is where it comes into play. The anger, the bitterness, and the internalized homophobia is crazy. Because what happens is their repression turns inward. It becomes something that they internalize. They start to self-loathe. They hate themselves. They dislike themselves for who they are. Then what then happens is they become jealous of openly queer men. They start to attack you. They start to call you the problem. They start to say that you are a sinner, that you are gay, that this is not what we do in our society. You are evil. You are a sinner. You're going to go to hell. Meanwhile, they are gay themselves. They are repressed. They hate themselves. They are unhappy. They are miserable. And they take out that anger on you. And this is something a lot of these people need to work on. The thing is, one of the reasons why this happens is a lot of masculinity. Hyper-religious bullshit. That's what happens. Fanatical religious nonsense, hyper-masculinity, hyper-religious moves, toxic masculinity, all of this nonsense. Because what happens is every of these things is telling you that you are less than for being gay. You are less than for being queer. You shouldn't be yourself. This is horrible. But at the end of the day, you are who you are. You are born gay. You can never change that. Let me tell you something. Repressed homosexuals, repressed queer people, are the loudest ones. They become the loudest homophobes, the worst homophobic people you can come across. I have lived this experience, especially on social media. You can tell that these people are so repressed, they become the worst homophobes ever. It is so sad to see. It actually breaks my heart. It's horrible to see. And these people don't really know what healing can look for them because they are not even trying to heal in any way. But as someone who does therapy from time to time, let me explain to some of them what healing can look like. Therapy is an option if it is accessible for some of you, but therapy is really, really expensive, right? But you can make friends and have chosen families and have older people in your life with wisdom or friends with wisdom who can help you in your community. Queer friendships, honest conversations, living homophobic spaces can help you. Relearning that you can be soft and that does not make you gay. That does not make you weak. Softness is not weakness. You can understand that living these spaces where all this nonsense are happening can be of good help to you. Healing is unlearning everything you were forced to believe about yourself. Let me repeat that again. Healing is unlearning every bullshit you've been forced to believe about yourself. That is why I always say unlearn all the nonsense that you've learned. Because when you do this, you will be so happy. You will feel light. You will feel amazing. You will feel wonderful. A lot of you need to do this for yourself. Find a way. It is little by little, baby steps, but you will get there. I am going to say it bluntly. Representation is extremely important. This is why I'm here. This is why I am everywhere I am. And seeing openly queer African people, queer Igbo men, queer people of African descent helps. It helps to reduce shame, break generational patterns massively. It offers hope. And hope is something that if you have, you will always know that tomorrow is going to be good for you. It is about humanity. It is about humanity at the end of the day. And if anyone that is around you that is making you repressed, if they don't understand that it is about humanity, that person is not supposed to be in your life. Run away from them. You do not need them in your life. Visibility is not useless. It is not vanity. It is something that will rescue us. Because if I'm no longer here tomorrow, someone that is queer will come across my video and say, yes, there were people like me. It is okay for me to be who I am. I am not a sinner. I am not a taboo. I am not wrong. That is why representation, visibility is absolutely important. This is a movement that will continue after us. I want to end this by saying, all of us queer people, we deserve softness. We deserve safety. We deserve love. We deserve a full life. And the thing is, you deserve a name that includes all of who you are. That is you being queer. That is you being amazing. That is you being wonderful and doing the things. Your queerness is not the enemy. Repression is your enemy. So, my dear, please do something about it. Because you are loved. You are amazing. You are wonderful. You are who you are. It is not a phase. It is not a taboo. We are wonderful. I am Charles. Thank you so much for listening to Igbo Queer and Unfiltered podcast. Have a wonderful time. Remain blessed. I will see you in the next episode. Bye for now.